This evening we are turning to the book of Proverbs, the Gospel according to Proverbs, verse 23 and 24. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. For riches are not forever, and of the crown endured to every generation. A warning to the shepherd. This is a particular warning to shepherds of God's flock and the seriousness of spiritual oversight. Verse 23 says, be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks. I wonder why it is in plural. And look well to thy herds. The Apostle Paul used similar words when he called the elders of the church in the book of Acts chapter 20. You may remember that text where the Apostle said, take heed therefore of yourselves unto all the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he have purchased with his own blood. I will be opening this passage a bit this evening in a more comprehensive format by showing both moral and gospel relevance to God's people today. Now, there are two important things that are taught in the last four verses of this proverb. I just read two verses, but it is really the context, verses 23 through 27. You have to read them together. I might highlight them as I go along. Two important things are taught in these last four verses. The first one is the value of the human soul. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. This verse is not addressing the welfare of farmers, even though farmers can benefit from the advice. Farmers are temporary. To be diligent about something is to be earnest, to be thorough. In Luke chapter 15, verse 8, we're told, what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently, does she find it? Salvation is something to be sought diligently in the church. A lot of people in here are careless. They are not diligent about their lukewarmness. They have all the signs before them, but they are not diligent. I would be concerned, as I was sharing with the brethren yesterday, if my Bible reading dropped to once a week. I would be concerned if my prayer life was shattered. I would be concerned about these things. I would have to rush back to my knees quickly. One of the things I rejoice about is that over the last 2 months, we were still able, Marcel and I, to have regular time in God's Word. Some people are out of sight, out of mind. Diligent, brethren. Not addressing the welfare of farmers. To be thorough in our souls. The Apostle exhorted Timothy, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who give us all things richly to involve. That they do good. That there be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold of eternal life. 1 Timothy 6:17, 18, and 19. Diligence, by the way, is the opposite of slothfulness. We can be diligent about the wrong thing. Some people are very diligent about that piece of property, things of life, and slothful toward the things, the right things, value of the human soul. Second important lesson taught in this proverb is the vanity of this world. The vanity of this world. Look with me at 24, verse 24. For riches are not forever, and of the crown endure to every generation. We read it in another proverb before this, in 23, verse 5. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Now, riches don't make themselves wings. God take them away. He's the eagle. The eagle soars. That's how the things of this world are. God takes them away in due time. The crown in view is the crown that every true believer will inherit on that day. But the text tells us the crown may not endure to every generation. The gospel may not be available tomorrow. We do not know when the gospel opportunities will end. That's why I insist, if the Lord gives me health and strength, I'm going to seize every opportunity and every open door. I don't have much longer in the ministry. And I do not intend to waste a lot of time. Dust your feet off and go to the next place. We do not know, brethren. Tomorrow is promised to no man. Today is your day to be diligent. The injunction is not given to the flock to be diligent to know each other, even though the Bible commands that we are to know them who labor among us and watch over our souls. But particular warning is here for shepherds. Be diligent to know the state of your flock. Today, one of the hardest things to accomplish is knowing who you are laboring among. People don't want you to know them, whether on this side of the spectrum of the ministry or further south at the ends of the world. When we went into Zimbabwe the first weekend in Mimberi, I am sure that Naomi and Panacea was looking for me to tell them, leave the premises, leave the mission house. Panacea is big, pregnant, a little 16-year-old girl that rebelled against her mom. And really, she shouldn't be in that mission house. But because of mercy, we allowed them to stay. And by the time we left, we were the best of friends, just because they are allowed to stay in a mission house, a church mission house. People don't think before they sin. And then when they sin, they expect mercy. But mercy don't always triumph. Shepherds have a full-time job of knowing their flock, but it doesn't excuse them from adhering to the Word of God. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. What these words amount to is pay attention to the state of your soul and the state of your people's souls. Pay attention. Spiritually, people don't want you to pay attention to them at all. They slip in and slip out unnoticed. But that's not the role of the shepherd according to Proverbs. This injunction, first, can be taken personally. Be diligent to know the state of your own soul. How you attend to your personal spiritual life. You and I will do well to guard your own soul, our own souls. You should know when you are drifting, as I said. You should know. When you see the signs of drift, going with the flow, it's easier to drift than to go upstream. Because it takes exertion, energy. You can drift easily. Many commentators make too much of the natural aspect of this text than they make of the spiritual. It is true that Romans 12:11 says, "Be not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." But these words are not addressed to the business person, but to the Christian. How many times we are slothful in the Lord's business is like pulling teeth at times to get things done for the Lord. Slothful. In attending to the things of the Spirit, we can be slothful. In attending to our own souls, we can be slothful. Proverbs 24, verses 30 through 34. If you want to look there quickly with me. It gives an agricultural allegory. Then it points to a spiritual message. Listen to the Word of God from Proverbs 24, beginning at verse 30. It's an allegory. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof. And the stone wall thereof was broken down. You know who's the stone wall, by the way. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instructions. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, not traveleth, travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. You know, an armed man has his weapon, but he has no target. God has no interest in a person's garden, according to this proverb. He's interested in his church. That's the vineyard. He's interested in the souls of men and women in the church. A slothful person allows their spiritual lives to be overrun with weeds. The cares of this world, that's weeds. Some of us are more interested in the cares of this world than we're interested in that which is spiritual. The advice should be taken personally. Peter said, nevertheless, according to his promise, we look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And then he says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in Him in peace without spot, blameless. It's salvation. Diligent. A slothful person allows their lives to be overrun with thorns. You know what are thorns. Thorns choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Thorns represent this world that is cursed. The world is filled with thorns. You may say the world is full with beauty and things like my dad once told me. I tell him, Dad, you know you should make right with God because this world is coming to an end. He says, the world coming to an end with all these benefits down here. He's dead and gone. And you know, sometimes in your own family, you got to listen to folly. A slothful minister allows his ministry to be overrun with weeds and does nothing. And some of you would like me to do that. Weeds. We are not paying attention to this flock. We are not paying attention. 2-3 Sundays go and nobody calls. We're not paying attention to the state of our flock. Everything is left to the pastor. Without diligence to know the state of thy flocks and look well to thy herds. This is not exclusive. The shepherds, we are all shepherds. For riches are not forever. And doth the crown endure to every generation. The gospel may not be here much longer. This injunction in Proverbs 7 ought to be taken personally. Be diligent to know the state of your own soul. Let us not become overwhelmed and overtaken with the cares of this world. Second, this injunction can be taken parentally. Parentally. I think that's a word, but you know what I mean. Commentator John Gill noted, the calling of the shepherd is here particularly mentioned because valiant, honorable, innocent, and useful, but the same diligence is to be used in all other callings and businessmen are employed in that they may provide for themselves and their families. As you can see, the classic commentator John Gill broadens his application to parental shepherding. We should be diligent to know the state of our flocks and look well to thy herds. We can bring our children and our families along with us to church. That's all well and good. While training them up at home to be citizens of this world. And that's why our Bible club has been shattered. And I am not forcing no parents to send their children to Bible club. There are other places where the door is wide open. We can bring our children and our families along with us to church. While at home, we are training them to be citizens of this world. God help us to raise a teenage daughter. We never face those challenges because God instilled in us what to do. And I hope you're listening. It doesn't work easy It doesn't work like that. We are not diligent to know the spiritual state of our children. We're not inquiring. We're not looking at their friendships. We are not looking in their address book. We are not diligent. Yes, we spy. We're not checking their rooms. We're not inspecting. We're not diligent. And we're losing our children. And we will lose more. Not diligent. We're not asking them the hard questions. Like, are you reading your Bible? Do you slot out time for prayer? We are not doing this. We have lost an entire generation. We're playing church here at City View. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flock and look well to thy herds. It can be taken parentally. Even grandparents, Mr. Dorian, you can take this too. Because you are you want to leave a heritage. And you speak to your grandchildren and your children. This applies to you. I'm listening. I hope you listen to this carefully. The gospel in Proverbs is either moral and spiritual and practical. That's Proverbs. Today I'm afraid that expediency has taken precedence over spiritual things. We must listen as parents to be diligent about the souls of our children. Has not the Lord said that your Heavenly Father knows we have need of these things? Has He not said to seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and these things shall be added unto you? Where did He put things in the priority list? After seeking the kingdom. The Lord Jesus said that. Are we just paying lip service to God? This injunction should be taken personally. It should also apply parentally, but most appropriately, this injunction should be taken pastorally. That's one of the most important. Pastorally. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks. When I left 2 months ago, I cannot say that the state of our church was spiritually healthy. I left with that burden. Our church was not spiritually healthy. And you may know I spoke to you before I left. And it wasn't. And since I came back, it seemed to be worse. Don't kid yourself. When we return, some are not physically healthy or as healthy as I left them. I know that. I heard. I spoke to the men every week, sometimes twice a week. I heard the reports. I heard the panics. I heard. I was concerned. But the worst thing to have on a mission field is to get reports that are not good back home. It slows you down. It weighs you down. I am paying attention to the state of this flock. I want you to know that. Some are having a waning physical strength.
Some are making all kinds of excuses why they can't be in church. All kinds. But they can be in the center, the old people's center, carrying on at the next gig. A lot of people are going to drop from the pew right into hell. Because they are not real, they're phonies. Let's not be a phony. As the inward man perishes, as the outward man perishes, the inward man should be renewed day by day. That would happen if you are paying attention to the state of your soul. I am paying attention. And you probably sense that the tone of the messages upon our return has shifted because you're paying attention. I am saying how so much time is being given to the outward, and it seems as though the older some of you get, the more worldly you are becoming. I'm paying attention to that too. Little time. This injunction is pastoral. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks. Know them. Watch their moves. Watch their habits. Watch the frequency of their pleasures. But pay attention. You pay attention to the state of your flock by administering the right medicine. Remember your mother used to push the spoon down your mouth and say, "It's good for you." And you're spitting it back up, and she just rake it back in, drink it. I remember those days. Sometimes I sit in over the table for a whole hour, Sister Jackie. String beans, I hated them. And my mother ain't going nowhere. Eat them. And that's why I'm strong today, Dalton. I had to eat them. Eat them. I labor upon these. Well, I labor on this. Eat it. When you pay attention to the state of your flock, you administer the right medicine. Every servant of God has a double responsibility. It is underscored in the New Testament by the Apostle Paul. Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock. All, not some, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. Some people want to come in here and do what they want. They don't know that the Lord purchased the church. Even the unsaved he purchased with his own blood. And shepherds are to oversee the flock. The command was not to take heed of some of the flock, but all of the flock. The elderly, the young, the feeble, the sick, the wayward, the steady, all the flock. All the old ones can't walk. The ones in the nursing home. The ones that are shut in. Take heed. Know their state. full-time job. And I need help. Lots of help. Pay attention to their growth or lack of growth. Pay attention to their wandering habits. You pay attention to the state of your flock by giving the right counsel. When they're going off, some of them don't like that, of course. They're going to do what they want to do anyway. But it's because you are paying attention. At times, the very word that is meant for a particular person, for some reason, that person fails to show up for worship. Pay attention to this. Pay attention. You pay attention to the state of your flock by observing their movements. Sheep that rarely drink from the still waters of the provided source may be sick. So are those among the flock that never show thirst for the water of life. An hour, a week, sit. I would like some of you to survive with one meal a week. I know them. They know me too. But you pay attention to that. Brethren, we have a full-time job in praying. I hope you swallow this message tonight because it's for you. It's for me. Your parent is for you. Are you personal? It's for you. Are you pastoral? It's for you. Jesus said on his sermon, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Not blessed are they that hunger and thirst after the world. They'll be filled too. There must be a hunger before there can be a filling. And God gives you the hunger. And apparently God hasn't given many people a hunger. Pay attention. Paul said to Timothy, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." Make full proof of your ministry. Are there more goats than sheep? Make full proof. Are there hungry souls? Make full proof. Are there wandering souls? Make full proof of your ministry. He can only make proof of his ministry if you know his flock. Timothy was to watch in all things. Watch how the flock attend to the word. Watch how they attend to the things of the world. Watch how they attend to the servant of the word. But watch, watch. Pay attention. I am paying attention. Fearful attention. Our Lord said, "But know this, if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore I say unto thee, be you also ready." You can take this personal. You can take this parental. You can take this pastoral. Watch. Watch. Pay attention. The injunction in Proverbs 27, 23 through 24 has to be taken pastorally. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds, for riches are not forever. And if the crown endure to every generation, the next generation may not have a gospel. Pay attention. God can take away just like this the gospel from you. Notice spiritual state. Life is filled with surprises and disappointments. Someone asked me at the men's class in Zimbabwe, "Pastor," and they asked some very good questions, you know, Brother Colin. I was surprised. To Shauna, Renewal, "Pastor, how can you know if a person is saved?" I said to them, "That's a very good question." My answer was very cautious. I said, "You do not know who are saved. You do not know who are truly saved. You may have an idea based on their works, on their life. You might have an idea, this person seems to be a child of God. But you can tell those who are not saved." And I show them the scripture, because they're struggling. So Shauna said, "Pastor, we can get people in the church, evidently." He didn't use that word, but I shared it with Marcel. "But we can't get them to become saved. That is a sign of spiritual growth." I said, "You are right on the money." I said, "Take for instance our church here at Chuma. They all come, they hear the preachers here, they hear. But we can't get them saved." And I pointed them to City View Baptist Church. And I always refer back to City View, my home church. And I said, "The same is true." And they were shocked to hear that. "The same is true at City View. We don't know. We can get people come to church, Brother Bennett, but we cannot, in our own effort, get them converted." And those were two very important questions that I try, by God's help, to answer. It is every man's duty to make his calling and election sure. Proverbs chapter 27, verses 23 through 27. It contains warnings. It shows the value of the human soul, and it also shows the vanity of this world. And there is a call in verses 23 and 24 to be diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds, for riches are not forever, and of the crown endure to every generation. The crown, of course, is the crown of righteousness. Doesn't endure for every generation. The suggestion is that the gospel can be taken away anytime. So may the Lord open our eyes to these nuggets in the book of Proverbs. Hopefully next time we look at another proverb. Let's pray. Our Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise for your wisdom in using your servant to give us this gem, Lord, and call us to pay attention to our souls, to the souls of those you have entrusted to us, whether they be our children, or to the souls of those you have entrusted to us in the church. Help us pay attention by giving the right medicine, by giving the right counsel, by giving the right direction. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.